Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders on Trade Deadline Day. I am Adam Weinerb, joined as always by fan-sided MLB insider Robert Murray, here to talk you through the deadline, what's coming next, and answer all of your questions. We might set an all-time record for most breaks in the action while I just monologue, because stuff could happen at any second. We are 4 hours removed from the 6 p.m. Eastern time deadline. Plenty has already gone on. Yesterday, maybe the craziest deadline eve I can recall. I went to bed last night with some John Heyman tweets ringing in my ears saying Mason Miller was close. And I was like, am I going to sleep through Mason Miller? And I didn't. It started off today with one of the biggest prospect returns we've ever seen. Robert Murray, thank you so much for joining me today to talk us through what we know so far and what is still to come.
Yeah, it is good to be here. Deadline day is here. Holy cow, my phone is going crazy. We might break some news on the show. Although that being said, the one that I currently am trying to work through is relatively small. So I would tame your expectations with that one, but we're firing away. We're cooking over here. It's good to be here. Adam Weinerb, how are we doing on the day of the deadline?
We're alive. We've got so much more left to cover. Again, 4 hours till the deadline, probably another half hour after the deadline ends till we get the full details out. Read, react. If you don't get your question answered or the information you're looking for on this show, please come join us in the Discord afterwards. You can ask us questions. Who knows when we'll be responding though, because again, Robert is going hard. Plenty of, plenty of text being sent back and forth, a lot of information flying. Things have never been more nuts behind the scenes, chaotic below the surface, like an iceberg. You can also subscribe to the Moonshot, get the latest from the fan-sided MLB team directly to your inbox, including Robert Murray, his work and mine, plus read all that and more on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Come join us for live shows reacting to the deadline in full at the National Card Show in Chicago this weekend, Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. I'm going to do a Sunday show as well. Everybody's saying some weird stuff in the comments, so you know it is time to pop on in and get the show ready. And why would we start anywhere other than Mason Miller? Leo DeVries, pretty much the largest return we've seen in a deadline deal, but that's what happens when a guy like Mason Miller with 4 years of control is ready, goes right into the pennant race in San Diego. You and I have talked numerous times on this show about what a madman AJ Preller is. Is this his crowning achievement?
Yeah, this is a move that Preller has definitely prioritized throughout this entire deadline. We've spent the majority of the time talking about Stephen Kwan or something or something else as far as Preller goes, but Mason Miller behind the scenes is a player that he's really wanted, and ultimately ended up getting him. The price was massive to get him, and I know it sent people, especially Padres fans, like wondering like what the heck are we going to do with our farm system. I will caution this, that Preller is as good at stockpiling talent as any general manager in baseball. I would remain very patient with him. He's made trades like this before. I don't know if the farm system has necessarily been in a state quite like this, but that being said, he'll be totally fine. Getting Mason Miller, getting JP Sears, just tremendous moves for that team. They're not done by any means. That's the thing, is they're going to continue to try to round this thing out. I don't know if it'll be Stephen Kwan. I mean, what they parted with to get Mason Miller was a lot, and the asking price for Kwan started with the top prospect of the Padres gave up in this deal. So we'll see. But others could be in a better position to land Kwan from the Guardians if he is moved, which I think is definitely possible.
And what about the overflow from the Padres end? You had sort of conflicting reports about, are Cease and Robert Suarez available? Are they part of the long-term plan? What are you thinking there? Is any major league talent going to exit the Padres, or are they just looking to import at this point?
Yeah, this has been the million-dollar question, and what I can confidently say is that the Padres, they have not wanted to give either one of those players up unless it was for someone that they felt could help the major league roster. And I don't know what necessarily that is that is going to entail, or what they could possibly get in return for a guy like that, or a guy like those, are, I should say. But my, they're open to it, but if they, I don't know if they're going to end up getting the offer that they need. I see that Diaz is pulled. He got hit by a pitch in the first inning, so we'll see. I had heard yesterday that it was unlikely, but we'll see. It is deadline season, so let me send some texts.
Yeah, got to check it out. He was drilled by Marcus Stroman, which I think hurts just about the same as getting hit by a feather in a windstorm. So who knows? But we thank you for everybody alerting us. And please keep us informed, because, again, we're streaming. You guys probably know more than we do at a certain point. And last I heard, again, this morning was that Diaz to the Red Sox, particularly unlikely. I see a lot of Red Sox questions. But, yeah, obviously, whenever anyone is pulled, whether hit by a pitch or not, it matters. So appreciate the concern, and we will send some texts around on that. I wanted to hit you on this David Bednar thing as well, because Ken Rosenthal on the Athletic live blog, pretty much 20 minutes before we signed on, said the Yankees could be considered favorites. I know with 4 hours to go before the deadline, Yankee fans are extra thirsty, begging for relievers, pitching of any kind. They think Cashman is sleeping. What's the latest in this situation?
No, Cashman is not sleeping, and David Bednar is definitely a prime target for the Yankees, and they have had pretty consistent conversations going on with the Pirates about the right-handed reliever. And the Yankees have been pretty adamant that they want to get a reliever or multiple, that they want to just get more pitching in general. And the Pirates' ask for Bednar has not been in the same stratosphere as Jax or Duran or anyone quite like that. So I think there's a pretty decent chance that he's going to be moved. I think if we're looking at a potential return for the Pirates in this, and me dot connecting, I think Flores would make a lot of sense for what they look for internally with Pittsburgh. So maybe he could be included, who knows, but there's a lot of smoke here, and doesn't mean that a deal is going to get done by any means, but it's them. I think the Rangers make a lot of sense here for Bednar as well. There's other teams that were involved as well. The Mets were in. I could see Boston being involved as well. There's just an abundance of teams that are after him, which is why I think the demand is just going to be so great that he's moved finally.
Yeah, I do think we're zeroing in on that one. I feel like we've still got just under 4 hours till to get stuff done, but that one feels like maybe the next domino that drops. Okay, a couple super chats to get through and an all-star chat, and then we'll get to the rest of your questions. George wants to talk about the Red Sox first. Touched on them on Yandy a little bit. Steven Matz late last night, and I thought that was going to be the big one before Eugenio Suarez got traded. But the latest on Boston, how far are they willing to go? This morning I saw a Charlie Morton, Ryan O'Hearn package floated as more realistic for them than Diaz. Fills two needs. I think that was a Ken Rosenthal column, but what say you about the Red Sox?
Yeah, the Red Sox, they need to do something. They're, as I've said consistently, they're not going to be stupid about this. They're going to continue to try to build for the future here and also want to win in the present as well. And O'Hearn makes a lot of sense there. I mean, he's a rental option for sure. But that being said, there's teams that have been involved that have maintained that Houston has a very high asking price for Ryan O'Hearn. So that could make it difficult. Obviously, deadlines spur action and prices come down. And you feel like O'Hearn is a classic player that they should trade and try to maximize here. And I would not rule out a return for him in the offseason. I think that's something. He's got a lot of love for the organization. The organization has a lot of love for him. And whether it could be a Houston or San Diego or whoever else, or Boston, O'Hearn makes plenty of sense there. But the Red Sox also got to go out and get pitching here. And whether it's Charlie Morton, I mean, we'll see what else could end up being out there. But I expect them to at least do something before the deadline. I'm just not expecting like anything overly crazy.
What about another super chat? Thank you so much. The San Francisco Giants, who get the sell-off started yesterday from their bullpen with Rodgers to the Mets. That price, the sticker shock, stunned me a little bit. The more you think about it, I feel like the stats and the performance maybe doesn't match the pedigree of the names, but that's still a big return. And if I'm the Giants, that entices me to do a little more selling. So what are you hearing there? Camilo Duvall, et cetera.
Yeah. So Duvall is basically been asked about by every contending team around the league. And the Giants are in a position where they don't feel like they have to move him by any means, but the interest is so much there that they're listening. And in return, I would imagine they'll look for a major league caliber player or major league ready player or even a major league player in general. So we'll see if they're able to get that. But that the prices so far for relievers have been hot and heavy. So that to me feels like an opportunity where they could cash in, but they are more than happy to hold on to them. There has been some Justin Verlander buzz as well. I can say that as of yesterday afternoon that they had not had any conversations with teams. Maybe that's changed. I don't know. But I've seen his name floated around there in trade rumors, and I'd be kind of surprised by that. But I have been surprised before. And I also want to give a shout out to Ryan Payne, who's said my hat game is unmatched. Absolute G. I see you, Ryan. I appreciate you.
Going to give this super chat a shout out. Wow, I missed it. We had somebody asking, it's gone. There are too many comments. Sorry. Asking they need Padres news like they need air. I just have to let that person know the Padres traded for Mason Miller. So Joseph, there you go. That was a big one. We have Brandon from the All-Stars. We appreciate you joining us and becoming a member. The Brewers in on anyone, or are they going to stand pat? I feel like they can't, but Eugenio Suarez was kind of a fun, natural fit there. That didn't happen. What are you hearing on Milwaukee?
Yeah, the Brewers, they were sneakily involved in Suarez. I don't know to what degree. I've heard mixed things, but people around the league have continually said that the Brewers like Suarez. And to me, the natural pivot, obviously they play different positions, but it would be Ryan O'Hearn. And he would be a guy that can immediately step into the lineup. He can play first base. He can go in the outfield. He can DH. He fits a lot of things that Milwaukee likes. And I expect O'Hearn to be traded today. But they have not found a common ground quite yet. Like the Astros, I thought they have made a plenty of sense there, but the price is too high for them. So we'll see where he's moved, but I think Milwaukee makes plenty of sense there. And if they can't find a fit for O'Hearn or just a price that they like, it could be a pretty quiet deadline in Milwaukee.
Okay. Hunter wants to know if the Cubs are done. Another super chat. Thank you. Jed's got to still be awake here. Very little has happened, quite frankly. So what are the Cubs' next steps? I know they've talked high-level pitching. We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, the Cubs are absolutely in the market for a starting pitcher and the perhaps even a difference-making starting pitcher. Like Mackenzie Gore would be their dream target. They've maintained that it's been pretty unlikely that he would be moved. Would not like rule it out by any means, but that being said, I'd be pretty surprised if it happened, especially with the Nationals having an interim GM in place. And you would think, based on how other teams view the deadline and how they try to operate, that you would try to, if you want to move a guy like that, you would entertain that in the offseason when you could have more time to sort through it and you could have more suitors involved. So that to me would be part of the logic there with the Nationals, but they are selling. They are very open to listening on almost everything. And if they find an offer that they can't refuse, then maybe they end up doing it. But again, not expecting it, but the Cubs, I'd be pretty surprised if they left today without a pitcher.
And what do you feel about the rest of the starting pitcher market in general?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Hang on here. Let's respond to this. Sorry about that. Woof. But anyways, my guess on the starting pitching market is that we see one of possibly both of the Marlins pitchers moved. Sandy is getting pretty strong interest. Edward Cabrera is also getting some pretty strong interest as well. I had someone phrase it for both as 50-50 or right around that mark. So we'll see there. Obviously Shane Bieber was a prime candidate to be moved, and the noise there was loud that he was getting traded. And obviously he was this morning, but Mitch Keller is very unlikely to be moved as of this point. It seemed like the Pirates, like they were open to it for sure, but never like truly like seriously engaged. Dylan Cease, I'm not convinced that he's going to be moved as of last check about 30 minutes ago. The thing is like things can change so quickly this time of the year that it's tough to kind of, I don't know, track it minute by minute or even 30 minutes ago, like is old information. But there will be other starting pitchers moved for sure. But I think a lot of eyes right now are on the Marlins guys, and there's plenty of interest there. I would also look at a guy like Bailey Falter as a possible trade option as well in Pittsburgh. There's been some noise about that, but whether or not that leads to a deal remains to be seen.
We're getting a lot of questions about the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies news? I mean, they are desperate. The Phillies traded for Harrison Bader. Did they trade for Juan Duran yesterday? So a lot of Phillies news, but I think a lot of Phillies fans wondering if Bader takes him out of Luis Robert Jr. or another blockbuster. What do you think about Dave Dombrowski?
Yeah, they're done in the bullpen market. They are absolutely, like, they were looking for an outfielder and they were trying to evaluate some different options there, whether it was a Luis Robert Jr. or Cedric Mullins, but Harrison Bader was the option that they really liked. And Bader had a pretty strong market, and his market began to intensify or heat up this morning, and Philly gets him, and we'll see what necessarily that means for the other options in the outfield. Like Luis Robert Jr., he was somebody a week ago that I said it was not a guarantee that he would be moved by the White Sox. And lo and behold, like I got crushed for it. And I honestly, like, I can't blame you. But that being said, like, that option is increasingly possible or increasingly more possible that Luis Robert Jr. stays with the White Sox. Cedric Mullins, I would expect him to go. But I have not heard of anything imminent there quite yet.
What about those pesky Orioles who did an Andrew Kittredge trade with the Cubs late last night? Plenty more to sell. You mentioned Mullins. We've mentioned Morton, Sugano, Eflin on the IL now. How deep does this go? And any teams talking to Baltimore right now?
There's a lot of teams talking to Baltimore.
Is anybody? Right now. Yeah, did anybody call Baltimore up? It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that are talking to the Orioles right now, and Morton. Eflin is possible, even though I think isn't he kind of hurt right now?
Or if I'm, yep. Yeah, IL, like, maybe.
Then Ryan O'Hearn is a very possible trade candidate. Call him likely. Mullins is likely as well. So there's going to be a bunch of different moves that are being made here by the Orioles. They are far from done, and I can confidently say that Mike Elias's phone and everyone in that office is quite busy right now.
What about our Dodgers, America's Dodgers? We've had a lot of questions on Brock Stewart is at the end of the road. I am still surprised that Andrew Friedman did not outfox the Mets on Helsley. But what are your thoughts on the Dodgers outfield bullpen chase? Where do they stand?
They are a team that I'm very curious to see what they do here. And I've tried to figure out if their quant pursuit is real or if it's them just trying to drive the price up on the Padres. And I still don't have a good answer on that quite yet. And usually at this point, I have a pretty good idea, but we'll see exactly what the Dodgers got cooking, but they're a team that I'm absolutely watching. Brock Stewart, he's got a pretty extensive medical history and stuff that he's dealt with. So the medicals on that one could be pretty interesting. But they're looking at a bunch of different other stuff too. Like pitching has been a priority for them, obviously. They're definitely a team to watch, and an outfielder to me is definitely possible.
Jacob saying we missed a super chat. We didn't miss it because it's yours, and here it is. Just moving around a little bit. We got a lot of Angels questions, and I appreciate you super chatting us here. We talked yesterday about Angels fans getting upset they were buying by bringing in Chafin and Garcia. Didn't feel like a buy to me, but yet here we are. They haven't done much selling either. Any thoughts on how the Angels handle the last 4 hours of the deadline?
Yeah, so the Angels are definitely probably the most bizarre team in baseball, if I'm being totally real. They are – hang on, I got to respond to this text. This is the time of the year where I got to handle this kind of stuff.
I'll dance around a little bit here too. I appreciate the question. We always have Angels fans. They're always split. I think I saw some folks today throwing around it, specifically the aggression was against the, you know, A's folks. Chris Cotillo tweeting about how they should be embarrassed for giving up on, you know, 4 years of Mason Miller for another lottery ticket in DeVries. I get both sides of that, and I understand both sides of the Angels fan thing too, where people are begging them to sell while they're moderately competitive. Like, meanwhile, you have Marlins fans who are thrilled that team is making real strides, right? And they've won, you know, they're like 9-1-1 in their last 11 series. So Angels fans, I get it, but I don't think I'm not in full blown panic with you guys yet until maybe we pass the deadline. If nothing else happens, then I'm with you.
this deadline officially sucks. Even I can't get the small trades. Yesterday I had five trades that I had that I got scooped on at the last second. I had Cody Huer. Adam can confirm that one.
Confirmed.
Yeah. And yeah, that's annoying as hell. This deadline sucks. But anyways, going to the Angels, they are, they're the most confusing team in baseball. And to me, if they had a different owner in place, they would be operating in a totally different way. And you can blame Perry all you want. You can be frustrated with the manager situation there. Things will never, to me, be good in Anaheim with Artie Moreno running the show there. It's a clear rebuild situation. They should be moving pieces like a Taylor Ward or a Joe Adele, or I mean, their rental guys are just, they should be listening on all these guys, and yet they're not seemingly in a position where they're going to be moving those pieces. It's just confusing. It's dumbfounding, and I just don't get it. But Angels fans, I'm telling you, the problem there is Artie Moreno.
Yeah, why is he Artie Moreno? Maybe give us that super chat again on another show, not at the deadline. We'll do 3 hours on it. Robert G., another Robert, asking about the Braves bullpen and Marcell Ozuna. The Braves sell Rafael Montero last night. I think all Braves fans are pretty pumped about that getting done. But they've still got Raisel Iglesias. They've still got Ozuna and his 10-5. What do you think Atlanta does?
Yeah, it's going to be a quiet deadline for the Braves. And if they were ever going to be moving somebody, it would be Ozuna and maybe Raisel Iglesias. And Ozuna, to me, is probably the more likely option at this point. But I have not heard of anything imminent there by any means. It's possible with the Braves because you never really know what they're going to go out and do. But they were never close to a deal with the Padres a few days ago, despite some reports. But they're evaluating their options is the best I can say. The 10-5 rights for Ozuna definitely complicates matters as well. So we'll see. But I would guess at this point that Ozuna is probably going to be moved.
What is up with the Cincinnati Reds? We've had important views ask about them a couple times, said it would mean a lot. We are happy to help. I know Yandy Diaz for the Reds was a popular target for Reds fans. Reds got themselves in the middle of a 3-team trade yesterday, flipping talent to Tampa, who flipped that talent to the Dodgers. Anything else cooking in Cincinnati, or are they going to have to be satisfied with Zach Littell?
Yeah.
I'll say they should be satisfied with Zach Littell. Now, I'm surprised Zach Littell pitched last night. Got the start at Yankee Stadium and then immediately got traded after the Ryan McMahon walk-off settled in center field. I'm surprised that a team like the Rays was willing to take a pitching risk like that.
Yeah, no, it's the Reds. If I was a Reds fan, I'd be really happy with what they've done. I mean, getting Zach Littell and then getting Key Brian Hayes, like obviously Hayes does not help out much offensively, but the Reds really identified infield defense or just defense in general as something that they desperately needed. And they went out and got him. They got Littell from the Rays, and the price to me wasn't overly that much. I thought that was a really strong deal by the Reds. Very nice pitcher there. Really upgrades things. Possible that they could get something else across the finish line, but their heavy lifting to me at this point is probably done.
Bummer, but also pretty fun deadline so far. Andrew saying that we missed his chat, wants to know Padres left field and catcher targets. We did talk Padres a little bit, and we know Jaron Duran and Stephen Kwan are their premium left field targets. Any lesser names they're looking at, or are they just shooting big game?
I mean, they're evaluating a lot of different things. Those guys, Luis Robert Jr., catching, like, I've seen you ask about catching targets before, Andrew, and you got to realize at this point there's really not that much available. I mean, maybe Christian Vasquez, who knows? Joey Bart is a player who's been getting interest, and I know the Padres have liked him in the past. So I would not get your expectations up for anything overly big there as far as catching targets go, but Preller is not done. I can confidently say that. He is very, very, very busy working the phones, and I feel confident with that. Again, I'm not, as of this point, I would be surprised if Kwan ends up in San Diego. Not ruling it out by any means, but that trade to get Mason Miller felt like that makes it really tough for the Padres to get Kwan.
Anything more? Just a couple of active teams before we sign off. The Mets up to anything after running through the bullpen yesterday? We know they've been connected to Robert Jr., but we know the White Sox may not be so keen on moving him at this point.
Yeah, Luis Robert Jr. is not a guarantee to be moved. He's been an option for them. Cedric Mullins has been an option there. I have heard they're open to some different things there in terms of adding to the offense or just the depth on offense in general. So what that could be, I'm not exactly sure. But they're not just pigeonholing it to the outfield. They are definitely looking at some other options, some other possibilities here. And I would think it's definitely possible that they go out and get a bat. And I know that they've been aggressive in doing so.
And what about this question? Why haven't we heard much about Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly? Two names that I think we both anticipated to be among the highlights of the movers, and rumor mill kind of quiet with 3.5 hours to go.
Yeah, I actually forgot about those guys earlier, and I would expect at least one, if not both, to go today. And the Diamondbacks, to me, would want Kelly back if they do trade him. And they have to just get something in return that they view as more than the draft pick that they would get in return if they went to free agency and left. And that is that's going to be what decides whether or not they ultimately move on from either one of those guys. But as of this point, I think that it's a safe bet that one of them will get traded. And again, I'm not ruling out both.
Well, we appreciate everybody asking us so many great questions today. Robert, you got to go because there is so much swirling. Anything else you got cooking that we should keep an eye out for quickly?
I got a lot of phone calls to make or a lot of texts to respond to because I've currently got 37 unread texts from the start of the show. So we're cooking, we're having fun, but this is the time of year that we love for sure. I got to get one because I can't even get Cody Hewer. That's tough. We got work to do.
Yeah, scoop by Rangers PR, and that's the way it goes. 3.5 hours till the deadline. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Head on over to the Discord. If you are not currently in there, you can ask us more questions. Come back next week when we'll be live once again, of course. But Robert and I will be live at the National, 10 a.m. Central, Saturday and Sunday, and then those shows will go on the YouTube channel. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast on YouTube, on your favorite podcast platform. This is the best time of year, and we are 3.5 hours away from D-Day. The final countdown. Robert Murray, thank you so much for joining me today, as always, on an especially hectic deadline day.
No, for sure. I appreciate you, Adam. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Oh, Adam, our lovely producer for the day, we appreciate you. And we'll see you back here on what day?
Saturday? I'm actually not sure. I think we're probably taking a break Monday. I think after the live shows and the weekend, we'll run those. But the best way to find out is to join the channel, hit us up in the Discord, turn your notifications on, come see us. And we'll let you know when we're going live. We'll definitely be live on Wednesday. Eric Cole and I will do the prospect show on Tuesday. That I know. Until next time, we'll see you right back here on the Baseball Insiders.
No, we will. Thank you, everybody.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.